I confess that I have a lot of catching up to do, and at my age, I should be a lot further along in my development of my Christian abilities. 35 years I've been sharing this building with you folks, and a lot of my lesson tonight will be about why I haven't developed as far as I should for my age, and it's called apathy. And a lot of years spent as a fixture in this building, no different than that beam that's supporting the ceiling there. I did everything I could to be invisible, and this is the thing that I've come to realize, that each of us, we need to find our place, our purpose, and that's my lesson tonight, that with our purpose comes responsibilities and consequences. I love this body for the example you have been to me and the love that you have shown to my family. Tonight I'll share with you those things that are on my heart, and I think things that I think challenge me, and I hope they might challenge you as well. And I'll try not to put on my preacher voice too much. Agatha says, "You've got to keep it upbeat," but I'm sorry, I'm scared. So I'm smiling inside, believe me. I'll try to remember that. I asked Robert to find a mirror and put it in the back of the auditorium there so I could see my reflection as I present this lesson tonight, so that I'd be reminded that I'm talking to myself. You folks just happen to be along for the ride. Not being a trained pulpit minister, I have to be careful that I'm sensitive to what I say, and if I should say something that offends or appears to be insensitive, believe me, I sincerely do not mean it that way. Before I get into the lesson, and I promise I'm going to get into the lesson here in a minute, is I want to spend a little time with you and talk to you about a little-known secret. And it's something that preachers and maybe their wives only know about, but it's called PTRS. It's the preacher's time release sermon. That's a method, a tool that preachers, I'm convinced, spend much of their training to perfect. You've all been exposed to it. You've experienced it. That's when you leave the building here and you're at lunch and suddenly it dawns on you, that's what he meant. That's what he was talking about. Well, that's not by accident, believe me. That's a mechanism that they use to put some distance between them and you. By the time you figure it out that they've offended you, they're long gone out of harm's way. So I say that tonight to make one point. I'm not trained in that skill, so I assure you, when I say something, you'll probably grasp it immediately, but don't shoot the messenger. I love you all, but it is my intent to get your attention as well as my own. Tonight's lesson, I'm supposed to push a button now, I think. Up is down and down is up. Oh, very good. Okay. Tonight's lesson, man's purpose, responsibilities, and consequences. To understand God's purpose, we need to ask ourselves three questions. Or to understand our purpose, we need to ask ourselves three questions. These questions are sometimes called the great questions of life. Now, don't ask me who called them that. I don't know. First, how did I get here? Next, why am I here? And where am I going? The answers to these questions are in the Bible, but we have to do a little searching to get the answers, and that's what we'll do tonight. You know, God doesn't just want us to know the answers to these questions and then move on. God wants us to get to know Him. God wants us to know Him and to see Him and see what great things He has done for us. He wants us to know Him so well that we are compelled by our own conscience to desire to serve Him. God wants us to be with Him in eternity. He wants us to want to be with Him in eternity. As God's people here today, we've already made that commitment to serve God in our life here on earth. We have come to know God and come to believe the things written within His Word. And we look forward to the promises He's given to those who are in Christ. We look forward to heaven with none of the sorrows or pain. This world. But what are we doing here? Why are we here? And what should we be doing as disciples of Christ? That's the lesson. Are we simply hanging out, waiting for that day of Christ's return? Or is there a higher expectation to life than just waiting? Let's consider these thoughts as we answer these questions. First, how did I get here? And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So it may seem obvious the answer to the first question of how we got here. God created us and He thought it was a good idea and He wanted to, and so He did. Though He did need to think about it a bit. Being as man was the last to be created on the sixth day. I mean, and maybe for good reason, we have demonstrated that we're high maintenance. But this man created in God's image, this is an honor, and we glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Imagine we are made in God's image. Imagine the responsibility that carries and how we have defaced God's image. Man did this with sin. Bear with me, Stan. It gets a little deeper. Not much, but a little bit. So that first question is answered. Why am I here? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Genesis 1:28. So is that it? That we're to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue? I looked up that word subdue. Webster's can mean different things: to conquer, to put into subjection, cultivation. Let's look at the words of a wise man in Ecclesiastes 2:3 as he pondered this question. What is that good which the sons of men should do? Let's look at what the scripture tells us our duty, our purpose are not. It's not just the accumulation of material things. And if you want to write these down, Ecclesiastes 2:4, 11, Matthew 19:16 to 26, Luke 12:13 to 21. It's not just the accumulation of knowledge for the sake of having knowledge. Ecclesiastes 1:13, 17 and 18. And it's not seeking the simple enjoyment of pleasures of life. Ecclesiastes 2, 1:10 and Luke 12:19. Let's look at what Ecclesiastes tells us, the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. God has answered clearly here for us what our responsibilities and duties are on this earth. And I think we would do well to fulfill those expectations. Fear God, strong words here, words not the hide in the corner and tremble, but a word of endearment, worship Him, respect Him, honor, be devoted to Him. This is the fear that God is talking about. True devotion, inwardly and outwardly. Not just on Sunday morning, but always and everywhere. When I was working for the Boeing company so long ago, the team that I worked with developed a slogan that we used with our military customer. And that slogan was anywhere, anytime, hot or not. And what that meant was if our customer needed us, wherever that was, we would be there for him. How much more that should have meaning in our lives as Christians as we serve our God. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. Psalms 103:11. How do we worship our God? How do we honor His name? How do we show true devotion? Are we listening? If we truly worship God, if we truly honor His name and are devoted to Him, we will be about His work. It is about faith proven by our works. James 2:15 and 16 gives the example of the brother or sister that is destitute. And we tell them to, we say peace and be well, but we don't make an effort or step out to do what they need to solve their discomfort, to provide food, clothing, shelter, love, embracing them. We are to be about His work. It's clear. My brothers, my sisters, it doesn't get any clearer than this. We need to put our knowledge to work, to not be hearers only, but to be doers. If you'll read with me in James 1:25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a fearful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There's much to do here, family. Look around you. Don't look at the person next to you. Look in the mirror. Look at your own reflection. Accept your responsibilities, your commitments made when you put on that name, Christian. I look across this auditorium and see a lot of empty pews. I can remember a time when we were considering opening up that balcony because we didn't have room in this auditorium for all of us. But because of man's apathy and complacency, we didn't notice as our brothers left. We didn't seek them out. We have a visitation program here, and we struggle. We need to pick up the phone. We need to get in our cars, and we need to seek out those that aren't with us today, that are on our rolls. We have let the world long dilute our hearing of God's instructions. I tell you, there's nothing more important than one's soul. Not a job, not a school, not any material thing that we can imagine. The effects are lasting, they are eternal. What is our purpose? Why am I here? "Go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. God is all-powerful. He is always with us. Matthew 28:18-20. So how can we let our pride get in the way of our duty? And it is pride when we have man's fear that we might be embarrassed or we might be ridiculed because we were too timid to talk to our fellow man, the man that we stand by every day and watch them go to eternal damnation because we didn't have the courage to talk to them about salvation. John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do the things which I command you." I want to be God's friend. Next question, where am I going? There's two possibilities. Any guesses? This is the reason for our exercising our purpose. And it's called consequences. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:14, we will be judged. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Matthew 24:12-14. The end will come. The Lord looked down from heaven upon his children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Psalms 14:2. Do we understand? Are we seeking him? How are we demonstrating it? Has our love grown cold? I pray not. Eternal consequences, either beautiful or tragic, but either way, they're eternal. Revelations 21:3-4, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven singing, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's where I want to be. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. Our worst fears, it is real. And fear them which can kill, getting harder to read. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10:28. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:33. You say, I'd never deny God. Well, oftentimes in our actions, that's what we are doing. We're trying to find favor with man and with God both, and it's not possible. You can't get there. The physical is of no consequence, my brother, my sister. It is the soul that we must guard. How do we do it? We must be diligent in our Father's calling. Humble ourselves, forgetting our pride. Pray for wisdom, mercy, forgiveness, always before God. And we all need it. Every day we need it. Hell is real. This is what we are to fear by man's definition of fear. And that fear should move us to action. Remember, we're not alone. Be of good cheer. Matthew 10, 23, 30, 31. God loves us. As even the sparrows, He keeps the very hairs of our head. He knows those numbers. And I'm doing my part to make it easy on Him. Let's not be deceived. Heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is not just a nice story, folks. It's real. We are responsible. We are accountable. And we need to prove our faith. Because faith without action and work is dead. James 2:20. Mouthing the words are not enough. It's time for action. The words of Jesus are what will judge us. In the last days, I have sat in this auditorium for years and listened to these words. Too many years wasted not putting these words into action. I can't even number the souls that have gone, that are lost, to eternal damnation because of my inaction. Family members that I love dearly. And I'm talking about my God's family. In a moment, I'm going to ask one of our elders, Jim and Gotti, to come and lead a prayer. I stand before you tonight confessing my sin. Sin of apathy, of turning my back on opportunities that God has given me, seeing lost souls all around me and doing nothing. I know the message. I know the Great Commission. I know of my Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and what it does for man. And he died for all men's sins, and not just mine. So why am I so hesitant in sharing this good news? The only reason I can come up with is pride. Somebody might think something that I'm not wanting them to think of me. I confess I need the Lord's strength. Tonight I ask that you will pray for me, that I might be stronger and more courageous in my Christian walk. And there may be others that have the same need for prayers, for overcoming sin in your life, or for strength as you battle through a trial or temptation. Or maybe you'd like to just publicly thank God for the blessings he has given you. And we are blessed every day. If there's any here tonight that have not put on Christ, that wish to have this opportunity to come confessing his name, wanting the freedom of a life where your sins are forgiven and you can feel the embrace of God and know with assurance of life eternal in heaven. Don't waste this opportunity, my brother, my sister. If not tonight, if you have reason that you just can't walk down that aisle, we'll be here long after this hour. But there may not be another opportunity. Let us be about our Father's work. I'll meet you halfway. I'm already here. So come while we stand and sing.